from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. I was in Springfield this past weekend for Lincoln Days, the biggest event of the year for the Missouri Republican Party. In an era where politics is often conducted with a cutting burn on a social media platform or through a focus group tested television ad, Lincoln Days is a throwback to a more analog era of Missouri politics. The two-day event features speeches, a meeting of the state party committee, booths for prominent politicians and causes, and even an ice cream social, which would have been tempting if I hadn't given up dairy a decade ago. But I digress. Now, I will concede that a lot of Republican and Democratic in-person events in Missouri do not often provide a lot of earth-shattering news. For example, my attempts to bait Senator Josh Hawley into admitting he's running for president went about as poorly as you would expect.
What do you make of people assuming you're running for president?
that's one of your more creative ways to ask this question.
I mean, yeah, like, how often do people ask you
that? Oh my gosh. I don't have any news to make, Jason. I'm not running for president.
You weren't going to announce it in the back room of a Springfield? But like, should I make my plans to follow you around Iowa next year?
No.
Okay.
But Lincoln Days always provides a snapshot in time for how Missouri Republicans are feeling about their political standing. And spoiler alert, prominent GOP officials such as Senator Eric Schmidt are not going to tell you, yeah, I think we're going to lose the Senate this year.
Really, we're playing defense effectively in Maine. Susan Collins kind of defies gravity all the time. North Carolina, which will be very competitive. Ohio is pretty reliably Republican now. I mean, who knows, but John Husted's a good candidate. And we can play offense in Georgia. So, by the way, in Michigan is kind of a little bit of under the radar. So I just think you look at the states that are in play, it's just not very likely. I mean, anything is possible.
From talking with lots and lots and lots of Missouri Republicans over the weekend, both with the mic on and the mic off, the best way I can describe the overall mood is contradictory. On the one hand, Missouri Republicans have never had this level of sustained political success before in the state's modern history. They control every statewide office, have commanding majorities in the Missouri General Assembly, and hold most of the state's congressional seats. And unlike prior Lincoln Days, Secretary of State Denny Hoskins noted that outward infighting among GOP officials has decreased fairly dramatically, especially in a Missouri Senate that's passed lots of Republican agenda items.
I think that's because Republicans have gone further to the right. I think the Missouri Freedom Caucus has done an excellent job of helping remind people why they are Republicans and to follow the Republican Missouri Party platform.
The Freedom Caucus, by the way, is a group of Republican lawmakers who clashed in the past with GOP legislative leaders over things like passing a more aggressive redistricting plan and curtailing the initiative petition process. The 2026 election cycle isn't likely to knock Missouri Republicans out of power. They're expected to retain their big majorities in the state legislature, and even Democrats concede both publicly and privately that they're unlikely to oust Republican state auditor Scott Fitzpatrick, the only statewide office holder up for election this year.
You know, the auditor's office is a fairly nonpartisan office. It's about good government. And I think people that are Republicans and people that are Democrat, we try to find areas where we can agree. And generally having an effective and efficient government is something that both sides of the aisle can come together on. And I think that I've done a pretty good job of being the auditor, of doing the job of the auditor and not using the office for political grandstanding. Obviously, I'm a conservative. People know that. I have a voting record and I'm proud of it. But I'm also here to do a job and I'm going to continue to do that job, and that's what I'm going to run on.
But here's where the contradictory atmosphere I mentioned earlier comes into play. The upcoming Missouri election cycle will feature some critical ballot initiatives, including one proposal to repeal a 2024 constitutional amendment protecting abortion rights, and another substantially curtailing the initiative petition process. Missourians could also render a verdict on a plan to eliminate the state income tax and vote on a referendum deciding the fate of a more GOP-leaning congressional map. All of these proposals will have well-funded and well-organized opposition campaigns. And as former House Speaker Elijah Haar pointed out, Trump no longer being on the ballot himself provides some challenges for the Missouri GOP.
You know, I don't think it's so much how popular or unpopular the president is. It's more who can turn out their voters. That's what we've seen over the past few cycles, is that when Trump's on the ballot, his voters come out. They come out heavy. Republicans win big. When he's not been on the ballot, the Republicans have really struggled how to get that coalition together. And so that's going to be a test for the Republicans in Missouri. Can we put the Trump together, the Trump group together in an off year?
Whatever you think of Trump, it is indisputable that he's helped Missouri Republicans climb to unprecedented success, especially in rural counties and fast-growing areas of the state like Jefferson and Lincoln counties. But with Trump's approval ratings low, the economy shaky, and his policies on immigration and foreign policy sparking widespread backlash, the president is also poised to spur Democrats to turn out to the polls. Not only could Trump's unpopularity imperil ballot initiatives, but GOP State Representative George Herruza says it could also make things harder for Republicans in places where Trump is perennially unpopular, like where Herruza lives in St. Louis County. That could affect state legislative contests and possibly Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagner's reelection bid in the 2nd Congressional District.
I think the history does suggest it will be very challenging. There's no question that we have an uphill battle to make sure to get our message out so that we do prevail. I believe we have really strong candidates at the state level, so we are in a good place that way, but it's always when you have those national wins, and if it's going to be a big, a blue wave, it could definitely sweep out some of those, and I think St. Louis County is in the crosshairs.
The history Herruza is alluding to is how a president's party typically doesn't do well in midterm elections. And this year happens to be the 20th anniversary of the worst election cycle for Missouri Republicans of the 21st century.
Tonight we have heard the voices of Missourians, and they have said, we want change.
In 2006, Claire McCaskill won a nationally watched race for the U.S. Senate, and her fellow Democrats prevailed in contests for state auditor and some key state legislative posts. George W. Bush was in his sixth year as president with low approval ratings, much like Trump now. Now, just because there are some parallels between the two election cycles does not mean the result will be the same. Democrats in 2006 won state Senate seats based in Northeast Missouri and Rolla, and barring a result that's comparable to, say, the Whig Party ceasing to exist in the 1850s, that's not happening. But at least one veteran of the 2006 election cycle says Republicans should not expect a cakewalk this year.
And going back to my teen years, one of my favorite Democrats, even though I didn't agree with him on anything, I liked his style, and that was Tip O'Neill. And one of the things, former House Speaker, and one of the things he always said was, all politics is local. I never understood what that really truly meant until I ran for office, and I was like, oh my goodness.
That's Greene County Presiding Commissioner Bob Dixon. During his time in the Missouri General Assembly, he represented Springfield. And while it's historically been in Republican hands, Democrats are making a strong push to flip the city Senate seat and capture more House seats. Missouri Republican Party Chairman Peter Kinder, the former lieutenant governor, told attendees that the GOP plans to redouble efforts to retain legislative seats in Springfield. And Dixon says if Missouri Republicans want to push through bad national headwinds, they need to go beyond their comfort zones and reach out to a diverse set of voters.
I hope to be unopposed for the commission. I just succeeded this week in getting the endorsement of the Libertarian Party in Greene County. So, you know, we are all about building coalitions in this part of the state. And anyway, I think it's going to be a tough year, but we have tough candidates who will get the job done.
There may be nothing Republicans can do to prevent some losses in Missouri if, say, Democrats nationally have a night on par with 2006. But some Missouri GOP officials say the party can prepare for the worst. Governor Mike Kehoe acknowledged that abortion rights supporters will likely spend heavily to defend the constitutional amendment voters approved in 2024 to protect abortion rights. That measure was known as Amendment 3. Now Republicans are backing a separate 2026 proposal, which confusingly also carries the label of Amendment 3, that would roll back those protections.
I think our team will be motivated. My wife, Claudia, put her name on the line by being treasurer of the PAC that's working with the Amendment 3 group to get a vote yes. And so we're going to work really hard. I'm personally going to work really hard to raise the resources to make sure our yes initiative on Amendment 3 stands a chance and ask Missourians to vote with us.
For Senator Josh Hawley, Republicans, especially in Congress, need to do more than just hope for the best. They need to actually pass legislation that appeals to a broad swath of the electorate, something that could be quite difficult in a closely divided Congress.
I don't think the election is going to be so much about the president, who's not going to be on the ballot. I think it's going to be about our people feeling better and doing better with their families and their job than they were under Joe Biden. And, you know, this is where Republicans in Congress, I mean, I just say to my Republican colleagues, I mean, listen, we can't sit back and say, oh, well, the president will fix it. We need to do stuff. And one of the things we could do is we could start passing the agenda that the president has laid out. Cap on credit card interest rates. No more Wall Street banks buying up single family homes. Tariff rebates. I mean, we ought to do that stuff. The president has proposed cap on prescription drugs. We ought to do all of that. If we did those things, we'd be fine in the midterms.
And remember when I said that Lincoln Days is just a snapshot in time? It's possible that all sorts of events between now and November could drastically change the political standing for Republicans. In early 2018, Republicans were preparing for a bloodbath thanks to Trump's low popularity and the demise of Eric Greitens' governorship. Ultimately, Hawley unseated McCaskill, and Republicans didn't lose ground in the legislature or in Missouri congressional seats. Here's Senator Eric Schmidt again.
I think you probably want to look at Missouri specifically. There won't be a lot at the top of the ticket driving turnout, so the issues will matter, and if people are motivated to turn out to vote, obviously that's going to be a big deal. But I do think those issues are favorable for us, I expect us to be successful.
So the big takeaway from Missouri Republican Party Lincoln Days is that the state GOP is not panicking, but they aren't pretending that this critical election cycle can be taken for granted.
This episode was produced and recorded by Jason Rosenbaum. Audio editing by our audio engineer, Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.